We're in a series that God called Fear Not. And in this series, if you've been following, we're in part three today. We're not boosting up fear. It's there. We're telling us how we should be acting. Because when we act the way we're supposed to, it doesn't matter what's out there. It doesn't matter. So if you want to catch up, you can go online and listen to parts one and two. But the main purpose is to get us to the place where we understand or we remember who we are. We remember what we have and why we have it. We have to remember who we are, what we have, why we have it. So we can, what was the word I told you the last time? Engage. Like the Starship Enterprise. Everything's locked in place. Course is set. Phasers are full. Crew is ready. Ship is ready. But if you don't engage, it just sits there in space dock. Too many of us are in space dock. We've been weaponized. We've been trained. It's time to engage. Say, it's time to engage. God said in Genesis, and remember, he said that he made us in the image and likeness of who? The Godhead. Because he said, let us make man in our image and after. And we're here because we're in the image and likeness of God. God said we were to have dominion. Over what? Everything that's on this earth. Us, the children of God, not the children of the world. The children of God are supposed to have dominion. We were created to have dominion over anything and everything that concerns this planet. Psalm 8, I love that psalm. It says that he has given us dominion over the works of his hands. So if God made it, we have dominion over it. So why are we walking around, as Pastor Clinton would say, as scared of the devil? He is a created being. It says so in Ezekiel, you are perfect in all thy ways from the day thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. So since the devil is a created being, he's a work of God's hands over which we have dominion. Why are we acting like he has dominion? Well, the devil is the prince of this world. You're the king. You can walk around in his princeship as long as you act in your kingship. But he, when he said, and you know me in words, he said, I've given you dominion over all the works of my hand. What does all mean? Is there anything left out of all? Then why do we act like we think there is? I have dominion over everything except evil spirits. We come together. There's spirits in this town. You there. Cast them out. Cast them out. Don't talk about it. We need to go. Jesus did not say during the Great Commission, you'll pray about devils. What did he say? You'll cast out devils. So if you think that there's a devil there, you should be casting it out. We should be casting it out. I should be casting it out. We need to have a prayer meeting because there's devils in this area. Cast them out. If we understand who we are, whose we are, and what we have, guess what we would do? Cast them out. Cast them out. We got to go to one of my favorite scriptures, Luke 10, 19. I'm doing it in the Passion Translation. This is my favorite, do not be afraid scripture. And it doesn't even mention fear. This is out of the Passion Translation. Jesus said, this is after he sent the 70 out, and they came to him with joy, and they said, even the demons are subject to you are subject to us in your name. They expected sickness to go. They expected all that, but they didn't expect demons. They didn't say even sickness. They said, even the master, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Jesus, I saw Satan fall like lightning. When the Passion Translation says, now you understand, listen to this, folks, that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample upon over his kingdom. You will trample. You will trample. Point to yourself. Say, you will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. What's left out of every? So whatever the devil's got, whatever he comes up with, can't stop you. That's why it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. See, if you have dominion over me, then you have dominion over anything I can come up with. So it doesn't matter what I come up with. You don't even have to look at, you see what he created. The key word is, he created it. I have dominion over him. So he knows what he can do with his creation. Because it's not going to have authority over me. That you will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Listen to this part, folks. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in that authority. Don't get too excited with the amen until you understand what it said. Let me read it again. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. If you choose not to walk in the authority, everything will harm you. If you choose to run away, look at Ephesians 6. I've read it the last two times. I'm going to read it again today a couple of times. Because we're wondering, we're confessing the armor, I'm putting on my armor. It's not working. Maybe this is why. Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10, Passion Translation. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious in the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Now pay close attention to verse 11. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us, so that you will be protected as you fight. We don't read the as you fight part. We stop it. I have on the arm. I'm protected. You're protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Not you be protected as you fight with one another. As you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. So why are we caring what people say about us? Why are we paying any attention to the names they use? What's important is what God calls us.
Amen.
His sons, his children.
Yes,
he calls us saved.
Yes.
He calls us sanctified. He calls us righteous.
Yes.
I share with you about Star Trek. Let you know we need to engage, but it's important that we understand this, folks. We will overcome every power that Satan has, and we will be protected as we walk in our authority while we are fighting. Fighting what? The good fight of faith. It's a fight. The enemy, like any, it's not going to give up ground. Oh, here they come. Let me just give it to him. No. He's going to act like he won. And the reason he keeps doing it is that we keep believing it. One of the pictures that I remember seeing, I remember seeing Muhammad Ali standing over Sonny Liston. Standing over him like this. I did not hear Sonny Liston mouthing off about how bad he was. I didn't hear that. Yet, the Bible says Jesus has put all things under our feet. So we have this entity under our feet, and he's telling us how bad he is, and we're listening. I'm going to give you cancer. Oh, Jesus, I got to go pray. What is he going to do? You are protected as you fight. Obviously, your foot's not hard enough on him. I'm going to give you... Can't even get the word out because you just put more pressure. Just put more pressure on it. The more he breaks, tries to break free, more pressure. More pressure. Jesus gave me all the authority to keep you right where you are. And that's where you're staying. Period. And if you think you can wiggle out from under these feet, whether they're like mine, size 16 or size 6, same power. Same power. Whether you're 6'6 or 1'6, same power. The same power. You have to know it, and you have to start operating in it. It's very important we understand that we're protected as we walk in our authority. Just like police officers. When they're where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to do, everything's available. They'll call out, backup. Next thing you know, coming from everywhere. But if they're not where they're supposed to be, if they need backup over here and they're prancing around over there, they'd be in trouble. If God told you, if God gave you a specific assignment and told you to go, all your authority, all your protection, all your provisions are where you're supposed to be. If you don't go there, you may find yourself in some trouble. And stop getting upset because the devil doesn't listen to you the first time. Don't be like the demon. We tried to cast them out. The Bible didn't say you'll try and cast out devils. It said you will cast out devils. I remember I saw something in Luke reading about the account of Jesus in the desert. And I remember the way my eyes lit up like a pinball machine when I saw it. We always walk around saying, get thee behind me, Satan. And wonder why he didn't move. Well, I read that account and I saw Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. The Bible does not say, Satan said, oh boy, I always get sent to the back. Walk around. No, the Bible says Satan took him to the next temptation. He acted like Jesus didn't even say anything. Get thee behind me, Satan. Come over here to this. He didn't get behind him. What makes you think he's going to get behind you the minute you open your mouth? That's why the Bible says resist. If he moved immediately when you open your mouth, is there anything to resist? So you have to resist because you say go, and it's like, I said go. Speak to the hand. It's funny you should say that, but the hand I got is not here. It's from here. And you bit off more than you can chew this time, buddy. Because I know who I am. And I know how to resist. And I also know that at some point in my resisting, I'm going to see the back of you because you will flee from me. So why are we tolerating the devil running roughshod like it's his garden? It ain't his garden. It's ours. Period. Yeah, well, but the devil took over the lease from Adam when he sinned. And Jesus came to undo all the works of the devil.
That's right.
Nah, 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 nah.
That's right.
We're allowing the devil to dictate where we go, when we go, how we go, and whom we go. We should have an active visual presence throughout this world. Active visual presence. People should see us doing good works, like it says in Matthew 5. It talks about letting our light so shine that folks see our good works. Look at what that group of people are doing down there. And what's that town, Nanuit? Look what they're doing. Look how the economy has changed. What's going on down there? There's some people down there. They don't care what everybody else says. They actually think they're in control. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. How do we get there? Mark 16. Again, Passion Translation. Then Jesus appeared before the 11 apostles as they were eating a meal. He corrected them for having such hard, unbelieving hearts because they did not believe those who saw him after his resurrection. And he said to them, I like the way the Passion Translation says this, as you go into all the world, as you go. Not as you're thinking down, planning it out, trying to collect all your money. As you go into all the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. As you go. Not us sitting down behind a camera, projecting out. He said, as you go. Preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. Whoever believes the good news and is baptized will be saved. And whoever does not will be damned. And these miracle signs will accompany. What does accompany mean? Go with. These miracle signs will go with you because you are a believer. These miraculous signs will accompany you But if you don't engage, well, what are they going to accompany? I don't see the manifestations. Well, he didn't tell you to go to your living room. He said, as you go into all the world, you should be excited about going new places. He said, these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. They will. He didn't say, I will. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will. He didn't say, if they go and there are any demons there, I'll take care of them. God has been using man to handle demons for a while now. As I shared with you, you can look it up. It said there was war in heaven. Satan was battling against Michael, and it said he prevailed not. When Satan said, I will exalt my throne above the Most High, God didn't call the Godhead together and said, boys, what are we going to do about this? I made him so strong, you know, he might just be able to do it. And he's got a third of our angels with him. What about the two-thirds that are still there? A third of the angels with him. Okay, so you outnumber them 2-1. What's the big deal? But God didn't say, okay, guess I'll have to go fight him. No, God anointed Michael and said, yo, Mike, take care of my light work. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I was watching, of all things, a dart competition. Nothing against folks who play darts, but these folks were serious. I mean, they're like, they have the form going, they have the faith, they got everything going. You know, and I'm thinking, Satan fell like a dart going. And these folks, I mean, they were serious. You have to watch that. So you watch the people. I mean, they come up and they rock solid. They're not laughing and high-fiving. It's going to be fun. And they keep the form out there. Like basketball players. Not like this. That's where the ball will go. But that's what he said. He saw Satan fall like lightning. Mike got rid of him like a dart. But where did he fall? To earth. No problem. I have my people down there. So even though he may have taken over Adam's lease, so to speak, he doesn't have the people. They're mine. And when he came to earth, he didn't suck all the power out of us. So why are we acting like he did? Or even like he can? Says after saying these things, Jesus was lifted up into heaven and sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of God. And the apostles went out, announcing the good news everywhere, as the Lord himself consistently worked with them, validating the message they preached with miracle signs that, what does the word say, accompanied them. The signs went with them. And if the signs went with them, they must have been going in the right direction. Because God's signs are not going to say, well, I know Jesus said to go to the right, but if you go to the left, I'll go with you. No, you will be protected as you fight. They will accompany you as you go. As you go. We've been given all of this. And we say that this was freely given to us. One of the things we always say to our grandchildren, nothing is free. No, but they said if you buy two, you get one free. You've been paying for it the last 3 years. When they sit down and have their marketing programs, they adjust the pricing so by the time they get to it, it's paid for.
That's right.
Say, nothing is free. But we have what we have because Jesus paid the wages for our sin. But yet we allow something that was not given to us, we allow something that has no place in us to stop us from being who Jesus died for. And we let this thing stop us. We know the scripture, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, wherein there's no variableness or shadow, neither shadow of turning. We know that. But why are we still accepting gifts from someplace other than God? And the gift that we've been accepting is fear. It's fear. We've been idolizing fear. But we don't call it fear. Because you call it fear, fear, Christians come down. No, no fear here. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We call it wisdom. There's a crime wave that hit this certain neighborhood, the same neighborhood God told you to go and do some street ministry. But wisdom says now's not the time. God said go. Wisdom says now's not the time. So you go to a safe, what you think is a safe place, and you get two flat tires. God, how could you let this happen? You'll be protected as you fight, as you go where I sent you to go. But President Franklin Roosevelt said something in his inaugural address in December of 1921. He said, so first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Listen to what he said. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes the needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. He's saying that that's the only thing we have to fear. And we use that as a rallying point. We're not going to be afraid. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Oh, really? I didn't find that in the Christian handbook called the Bible. That scripture may be inspirational. It may be patriotic. But as far as we're concerned, it's a lie. It's a lie. For the Christian, that statement should read, we have nothing to fear. Period. We have nothing to fear. Think about what it said. Because of what I already shared, we have nothing to fear. It doesn't matter what we face, whether what we face is nameless. It doesn't, because we belong to the name that's above all names. And what we believe and say in that name is what we will have. That's what we have. So who cares if fear is unreasoning? I didn't come to reason with, did you come to reason with fear? You know, just scare me a little bit. You know, because I have this heart weak condition and, you know, I don't want my pressure to go up, so... You just scare me a little bit. I'll stop. You know, you don't give me all out fear. No. We don't negotiate with mountains. We tell them to move and they move.
That's right.
So I don't care if what the spirit of fear is unreasonable. I'm unreasonable. And I didn't come to reason with it. I came to get rid of it. You don't negotiate. Like, remember that commercial with the that drug program? This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions? Yeah, this guy once I said, you don't discuss it. You don't negotiate with it. You have a problem, you get help. So unreasonable fear comes. Well, let me ask you this question. What's reasonable fear? Excuse me. What's a reasonable fear? Is there any such thing? What if there's a pit bull running loose in the neighborhood? Isn't it reasonable to fear being bitten by a dog? Let's see. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the bird of the air, and over everything that creepeth upon the earth, except pit bulls. I haven't found that one little bit. I did see where we've been justified with Christ. I did see that we died and was buried with him. I sang the song, we were quickened and made alive with my Savior by my side, and I rule and reign in life with him. I don't care if the spirit of fear finds me unreasonable. But we do need to understand, because I keep saying the spirit of fear, because that's what it is. It's a spirit. How do I know? 2 Timothy 1. I have several translations I want to do. That's not trying to impress anyone, but we need to pay attention to what they say. King James, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, a noun, as you know, is a person, place, or thing. God has not given us an unpleasant, strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. He hasn't given that to us. He hasn't given us anxious concern. He said, be careful for nothing. He hasn't given us profound reverence for someone other than him. Do you realize when you say, I'm scared to death, you've placed more reverence on that thing than that's on God? Right. The bigger that thing is, the bigger my God gets. How can I say that? Because the name of Jesus is above any name that's named. So I don't care what name, what you call it. I don't care how big. Goliath was 10 feet tall. We sang about the walls of Jericho that they marched around. They stood their ground. They did what God told them to do. And what happened to the wall? Came down. Came down. From the power of obedient praise. And we need to understand that. God didn't give us reason for alarm. And verb, action word, God didn't give us a spirit that we should be afraid of. Or we should have an alarming effect. Yeah, things that have the potential to be scary are going to happen. So what? You don't seem to mind it on Halloween. Just figured I'd slide that one in there. Let's look at some more verses in 2 Timothy 1:7. And you should find as many translations as you can and read this verse. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Self-control. That thing comes at you, you're like, be gone in Jesus' name. And it growls even louder. Remember we shared about Daniel and the lions, and then the angel came and shut the mouth of the lion. Didn't take away its power. Took away its ability to exercise power over Daniel. Shut his mouth. David said, I'm a shepherd. I have absolute authority over these sheep. A lion came and took one of my sheep. I went after it, punched it, and took the sheep out of his mouth. When it had the nerve to rise up against me, I hit it and killed it. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like that, being that he has defied the armies of God. Why are we letting the enemy defy who we are as Christ? Now, I'm not saying go out there and go on a killing spree. Don't put that out there on TikTok or Facebook or anywhere else. But we shouldn't be running around afraid because the devil made some noise. Making noise is a good thing. You know why? Locates where he is. Or as they say in the vernacular, locate where he's at. The Weymouth translation. For the spirit which God has given us is not a spirit of cowardice, but one of power, love, sound judgment. You can figure it out. Why? Because he gave you a spirit, and that spirit has sound judgment. The Murdoch translation. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of energy and of love and of instruction. He'll tell you how to defeat the enemy that's facing you. He will tell you, Father, what do you want me to do about this turkey? He'll tell you whether you use the fry basket, the rotisserie. He'll tell you what to use. Listen to the easy-to-read version. The spirit God gave does not make us afraid. His spirit is a source of power. His spirit, what do you mean his spirit? The spirit God gave us is a source of power and love and self-control. I got to give you this last one, Passion Translation. It says something that made me go, aha. For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit. I'm waiting for the amen. God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit. He will give you the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. He didn't give us, because I used to wonder, okay, what spirit? He didn't give me the spirit of fear. Is there a spirit of love? Is there a spirit of power? Is there a spirit of a sound mind? Yeah, it's all found in the Holy Spirit. And that's what he gave us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. So when you feel fear trying to get into, well, let me say it to you this way. In John 10, it says, the thief cometh, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So the thief is letting you know he's coming, these are his intentions, right? Jesus said, I have come. He's coming. I'm already here. So because he's already here, when a thief comes with the intent to steal, kill, and destroy, who should he encounter? Not me operating in my own strength. The Holy Ghost in me, giving me instructions on what to do with him when he comes. Because he's coming. Stop trying to stop damaging your faith, trying to pray him away. Stop damaging your faith, trying to do something that God said will happen. He said, the thief cometh. Well, Father, I believe the thief's not going to come to my place. The thief cometh. But Jesus has come. The spirit of fear cometh. It wants to take over you. But it's too late. The Holy Spirit has already come. It's come upon you. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there ain't no room for the spirit of fear. But if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, or if you're not engaged with the Holy Ghost, you leave room for another kind of spirit to come in. I keep running out of time. Well, let me share this with you. Matthew 14. We're only maybe a third of the way in. Message translation for this one. As soon as the meal was finished, it was feeding the 5,000, he insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. With the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up against them, and they were battered by the waves. Notice it didn't say they were afraid. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's right, because it said that watch was between 3 and 6, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. Now, they're not afraid of the waves beating on the boat and just slapping the boat around. But they saw something walking on the water, and they were scared to death. A ghost, they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to comfort them. Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid. Peter, suddenly bold, said, Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water. Now, think about what had to be going on for him to say that. They thought it was a spirit. But even though they thought it was a spirit, they thought it was a truthful spirit. Because he asked it a question. You say you're Jesus. Yep. Well, if you're Jesus, tell me to come. And they figured the spirit, it's not going to lie. So they were willing to believe what they thought was a ghost, something they were afraid of. Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. Come. Okay. Jesus said, come ahead. Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus. How many times has God given you an assignment and you jumped right in and started doing it? Then something happens in the midst of you doing it. Something happens. And you start thinking, I can't do this. Just like when this former NBA player, Nate Archibald, invited me to a workout. And I'm playing, all of a sudden now I'm looking at the faces and recognizing them. And I'm like, I can't play with these guys. But I'm doing it. I can't do it. And I started stinking up the gym. Nate Archibald called me over and said, Foots, you're embarrassing me. I'm like, but these guys, he said, they're basketball players. You're a basketball player. They know I brought you here. Get out there and play basketball. That's what Jesus wants us to look. I've come so you may have life and have it more abundantly. You're my child. Get out there and act like you're my child. But when Peter looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. He cried, Master, save me. This is where you, with fear, just clogs reason. And I'll tell you why I say that. Peter said to this thing that he thought was the spirit, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus said, come. And he got out of the boat and was walking. And then while he was walking, he looked at what everything else was being slapped around and figured, I can't do this, and starts to sink. But he calls the one who told him to come and walk to him to save him. He already had his instructions. He needed to just get up and continue walking. But too often, I'm not a big advocate . If I were in that position and I'm walking on the water, I'd be playing. I wouldn't be just looking at Jesus and just walking. I'd be looking at the water laughing at you. You thought you could stop me. No, be practicing my moonwalk called the water walk. I'm coming, Jesus, I'm coming. Do that, my MC Hammer interpretation. Can't touch this. But that's what I would be doing, because I already have the word, come. And the Bible tells me you walk by faith and not by sight. So if Jesus told me to come, that's all I need. I'm going. Because see, the spirit of fear will trick you or try to trick you. You'll step in the water and go down to your knees. Because it wants you to say, help. Jesus said, come. Who cares how you have to walk? The key is you go. Yes, the waves are going, playing basketball. They come out in the full court press. Put more pressure on your ball handlers. There are other things that you do to counteract that. You don't go sit on the bench and say, oh, man, they figured us out. What are we going to do now? No. The coach says, do this. Foots come up and set a pick on him. Greg, okay, you pick up your dribble, run full speed, aim him towards Foots, and he'll go crashing into Foots, and Foots will pick him off. And now when you start dribbling, he starts looking for that hard pick, and you go right past him. What the coach said. We did what the coach said. You appear to be sinking. What the coach said, come. So you come. You come. Now, he was a fisherman, so I'm sure he was an accomplished swimmer. Bible didn't say he struggled to swim. The first thing he did was give in to the spirit of fear. Took out all reasoning. Because he looked and saw what the waves were doing. We look. A whole lot of people were killed by COVID. Not Pastor so-and-so. He had more faith than I did. and he's gone? What did God tell you to do? And are you doing it? You don't know what was going on with anyone else. So Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand and said, "Faint heart, what got into you?" What do you think got into him? He allowed the spirit of fear to come in. That's what got into him. And it prevented him from believing Jesus was, or Jesus is, who he says he is. Because he said, "If it's you, bid me to come." Jesus said, "Come." So that means it's the real deal. The spirit of fear came to cast it out. So Jesus said, "Faint heart, what got into you?" He was so gentle. "What's the matter with you, boy?" Give him a lecture there on the boat. "Didn't you call? Didn't I say don't be afraid?" "Yes, master." "Didn't you say if it's me, tell you to come?" "Yes, master." "Did I tell you to come?" "Yes." "Why'd you stop?" Why is it always yes, 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 circumstance, no? Yes, 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 yes. Either you believe it or you don't. And if you're giving in to the spirit of fear, I can tell you something, it may sound hard, I'm not trying to be, you're not believing. Because a believer doesn't give in to the spirit of fear. Why not? They believe. What do they believe? Everything that Jesus said. When you give in to the fear, the spirit of fear, you've been out-negotiated. That's why we don't negotiate. We're not good at it. We're not. We weren't designed to negotiate. We were designed to believe. Didn't say that those things, however you negotiate when you pray. Those things, whatever you believe when you pray. Not negotiate. So Peter gave way to the spirit of fear. The boat being battered by the waves didn't bother him. Thinking Jesus was a ghost coming to get them frightened them. But Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." And they weren't afraid. They're watching Peter. And none of them, or I should say, the Bible doesn't talk about anyone else in that boat jumping in to help Peter. Yeah, Peter, jump. Go ahead. He's doing it. Yeah, but watch. He's going to fall. Watch. No, he's doing. Glub, 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 glub. Faith is believing without seeing. So it doesn't matter whether he saw him, he heard him, he knew it was Jesus, and he cried out. See, the spirit of fear will always tell you that you can't do something that you're already doing. He tried to tell our sister, "You can't walk. You can't walk. If you can walk, why are your legs so weak?" "Because I haven't used my muscles. So I build up my muscles." But let me say you this, devil. My legs are strong enough to kick your butt. So I suggest you leave now. Because if you don't, remember how it felt hitting the dartboard. It's about to happen to you again. Because I have the greater one living on the inside of me. And that's where my strength comes from, the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. And notice, as soon as Jesus and Peter climbed back into the boat, the spirit of fear left, and the weather was calm. The whole thing was trying to get fear into the disciples. Why? So they wouldn't, devil didn't want one of his servants freed. They were going to free him, the man with all the demons. He didn't want that to happen. The devil knows what's going to happen when you get to certain areas, come across certain people. He doesn't want that to happen. So he's going to send the spirit of fear to try and take over you. Sometimes the spirit of fear comes dressed as family. Sometimes it comes dressed as friends. You have to know who is in you. And it has to bear witness with your spirit, not your head. And never choose obedience to God over the wisdom of the world. When you think about it, God, the spirit of fear wanted to stop the virgin birth. Think about how much fear was flying around that whole situation. Mary, you're going to become pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Bible says she started dancing around. Oh, God chose me. He loves me. I'm going to be the mother of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What is Joseph going to say? How am I going to tell my fiance I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost? I'm not sure I even believe that. Has God forgotten the laws that he gave? That if anyone gets pregnant like that out of wedlock, they get stoned to death? Are you serious? Wisdom says you don't do that. You say no. But the angel said, you found favor with God. We have favor with God. The angel told her exactly what's going to happen. As far as God's concerned. He didn't say to her, your neighbors are going to point fingers at you. You're going to be on The View. People are going to start saying rotten things about you. He didn't say, you're going to become pregnant by the Holy Ghost and give birth to a child, and you call his name Jesus. Now, before that verse, and the angel saying to her, for with God all things are possible, according to the Amplified Bible, it says that no word from God is without power or impossible of fulfillment. Between that moment and the moment she said, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord, she got some things settled. And so did Joseph. Yeah, she's definitely pregnant. I don't know if I buy this Holy Ghost stuff. I didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. But he knew the voice of God. So when God spoke to him in a dream and said, don't be afraid to take her as your wife, he woke up and did what God said. When he heard from God, what his friends might say doesn't mean anything. What his parents might feel didn't mean anything. His own doubts didn't mean anything. This is what God said. I'm going with it. I'm not going to be afraid that this isn't going to work out. It's from God. It has no choice but to work out. And that needs to be our attitude about things. Did God say it? And there's no choice, it's going to work. As long as I do it the way God said. I got to unhook. Okay. When I was a child, and I'm having a conversation with someone, and a third party comes putting in their 2 cents, we'd look at them and say, This is an A and B conversation. See yourself out of it. Okay. When the Holy Ghost is giving you instructions, and the spirit of fear is trying to tell you things contrary, this is an A and B conversation. See yourself out of it. Instead of listening, oh, you got a point there. I never thought of that. Let me check and see what the ordinances are. Did God tell you to do that, or did God tell you to go? What are you afraid of? Well, how's it going to look if we get arrested? Who said you're going to get arrested? What if the people don't like me? What if they do? But there's something that we have to consider. God loves you. He loves you perfectly. And the scripture tells us, perfect love casts out fear. Period. Perfect love casts out fear. I'm going to share Psalm 34, and then I'm going to quit. Because you need to understand, whatever it is that God told you to do, the spirit of fear is going to come to try and stop you. Psalm 34, verse 19, King James Version. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Passion Translation. Listen to this. Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. God will not let you be defeated by what you face as you go doing what he has called you to do. Turn to someone and say, God will never let you be defeated by what you face. He has not and never will give us the spirit of fear. Father, thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Thank you for taking a simple message and expounding on it so that we understand. We've been given the Holy Spirit, our source of power. We have not been given the spirit of fear. And as long as we stay engaged with the Holy Ghost, there is no room in us for the spirit of fear to dwell. Thank you, Lord, for making this plain so that we can see it, understand it, and live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them. There's a message in there, folks, that we don't want to go over our heads. Bad things are going to come up. Bad things are going to come up. Bad things, cyber world, are going to come up. But God will not let you be defeated by them if you stay true to who you are and to what he's called you to do. I'm done. I have to turn it over because I'll see something else and cook back up again. Is there anyone here? Because in order for you to not have room for the spirit of fear, you need to have Christ living on the inside of you. See, it's just a three-room flat. It's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. No room in you for anything else. No room for anything else. None. In order for that to happen, you must first receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That means you allow him to come in and live in your heart, and you allow him to be the Lord of your life. That means you don't do anything without his approval, because he's your Lord. How does that happen? Very simple. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. So is there anyone in here, and you've never done that, you've never confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead? You never made that public profession. But you want to do it now because you don't want to be victim of the spirit of fear any longer. Just raise your hand where you are. Is there anyone here, you're born again, but you haven't received the subsequent gift, the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Raise your hand, and we'll send you to a private area, and someone will minister to you, and you will receive your gift this day. Everyone say, I will not give in to the spirit of fear, because I stay engaged with the Holy Spirit.